I didn't know you were going to play that song. It sounds better when I sing in the back, doesn't it? No, yeah, that was me playing the drums. Great. Praise God. Lovely to be here with you this morning. Oh, that's better. I'd like to share with you this morning from the book of Thessalonians and from the first chapter. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to it, we'll read it together, and then I'll do hopefully what will be an executive summary, because we have just spent at Work La Vera some time going through the first book of Thessalonians, and it took us a few months, but this is just something I feel laid on my heart this morning to share with you as a sort of little bit of an overview. So Paul, Silas and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, and with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy, given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. I don't know whether you feel like the psalmist this morning, David, but I used to quote this psalm quite a bit. I'd often maybe start it in prayer at the start of a service, but you know, there's no better place that you and I could be this morning but in the house of God. And the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And why would that be, I ask myself this morning? And it would be because he is here. Hallelujah. Whatever your situation is this morning, whatever your circumstances are, whatever your heart's desire is this morning, however you want to express yourself of your love towards your Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, he is here. He's promised to be here. Sometimes we misquote that the scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst, and that's a bless. But that's his promise to us. But equally, if you come in early, before the start of the service, that door would be shut, and it says, prayer meeting in progress. And one of those things that are happening during that progressive prayer meeting is that we invite the Holy Spirit to come and zap us for his name's sake. So I'm glad today to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm glad to be here in Matheron, where I used to worship with you as Noel some time ago, and then moved down to worship Work La Vera. Forgot where I went to worship then. There we are. Can I just... Ah, that was better. These are only those €6 things. So then, let's just have a look and break this down into a little bit of encouragement. I love encouragement. Do you like being encouraged? Rather than discouraged. There are plenty of discouragers, aren't they? And I know, I'm sure you are not one of those people who discourage others, but rather encouraging. This is what this whole letter is about, that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. And he says, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something very powerful in that opening few lines. He's saying the church who is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the songs we sung this morning are going to really come out as I minister this word. But there he was. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus took the fall of mankind through sin in the Garden of Eden, and we'd inherited that sin, whether we like it or not. Spiritually speaking, sin is like our spiritual DNA. We had it from our forefather Adam and Eve. And Jesus had to make that sacrifice on the cross to reconcile us to God. So we're in God the Father. Jesus made it possible that we could become part and parcel of the family of God, with God as our Father. I'm so glad this morning I know God as my Father, because that's how I approach him. My understanding of a father is that he is the one who protects me, takes care of me, loves me, provides for my every need. And that's what God does for you and I when we belong to his family. And he is the Father. You and I are the sons of God this morning. And we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord that he has made it clear. I'm so glad Jesus is my brother this morning. I'm so glad that God was in him reconciling us to himself. So Paul then goes on in verse 2 to say and give this, what is expressed here as thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. Do you know, my next door neighbour died during about 2 weeks ago. And over the 6 years I've lived on that park home site, he has never responded in any way whatsoever to the gospel, and he's been quite poorly with cancer. But he recently died, and the Church of England vicar from a good way away, really, conducted the funeral. All the music was classical music. He loved classical music. So I had a bit of Beethoven, a bit of this, a bit of that, and a bit of the other. And in the eulogies it was said, well, we know Dave had no religious inclinations whatsoever, and etc., etc. And then the vicar went on then to say, well, you know, as long as you have a faith in something, didn't even say someone, as long as you have a faith in something and you do good, Dave, as far as we know, never did anybody any harm, never said a bad word about anybody, but he's got a faith in the power of music. And there you go. But I'm glad that here Paul talks about the faith of the Thessalonians in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God the Father. So that he writes, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Fantastic. Isn't it good? Have you ever felt a bit low and the phone goes and you pick the phone up? Hello, it's so-and-so here. Just wanted to know I'm praying for you today. I don't know why, but Father has laid you on my heart and I'm holding you up before him right now. What a lift it is to know that people are praying for us. It's the most powerful and effective thing that we can have. Someone can slip you £100 or £200 or £1,000. It might not necessarily deal with your circumstance, but someone can pray for you. And Jesus in his compassion, as was quoted by Pastor Andrew this morning, it can be around about us are his loving arms. You know, have you, when you're distraught, have you ever sort of put your head on somebody's shoulder and say, give us a hug? That hug is worth more than £10,000 sometimes. And I love when Jesus hugs me. So we always remember you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a great triad. When you read in Romans, you know, that's faith, hope and love, charity, as it says. That triad comes through an awful lot in Christian circles, because faith and hope and love is often the motivation that we've got. Our work, he talked about your work produced by faith. Faith is a mover in our lives. By faith we do something. By faith we're an acting body of people. Without faith we're like stuffed ducks. We're sat there on the water doing nothing, waiting for a little morsel to pass by. But by faith we are moved in God to do something wonderful. And love, but love motivates us to care for others. Love dismisses the selfishness in us. Just as Christ on the cross, he was crucified, you laid behind the stone. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And love motivates us like Jesus, because it's the love of God within us through the power of the Holy Spirit that makes us less selfless. You know, there are some people who some people are so self-centered sometimes and so selfish that, you know, it's just beggar's belief, really. But it happens. So faith, hope. You know, hope is, this is not a wishy-washy situation. Hope is something that's positive. Hope is the thing that gives us firm confidence that we are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I've said since I came here, because I came to retire, as a lot of you know, who know me quite well, and I'm always sort of joking about it, but having said that, I'm so grateful. I've always said I'm in between the best before and sell by date. When you go on Tesco's shelf, you can see it, you know, best before or sell by date is etc. But you know, when you get to, not that I'm bragging about age here, you know, but the age of a man is 70, 3 score years and 10, and a woman of course. Some live longer, some don't want to die. Paul said, I would rather be with the Lord than be here, but nevertheless I'm here and I'm getting on with the job. And I'm just so grateful this morning that in between that best before and sell by date, I can still kick both legs. I can still raise my hands. I can still sing. I can still rejoice in the Lord. I can still do everything I did, not quite as energetically as when I was 20 or 30, but I can still go for a walk and do bits of things. And I'm grateful. But the hope is that one day, when I am past my sell by date, I know that I shall be with him in glory. And that's just a fantastic, the book of Thessalonians, of course, a lot of the themes of it is about second coming. And you get to the end of each of those chapters in the first book here, and it's talking about that hope that Jesus will come for those who belong to him. For we know, brethren, loved by God, that he has chosen you. You know, it's a great situation here, isn't it, when you think about it? Because our gospel, we know that he's chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know, thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, when you gave your heart to the Lord, didn't you realize, or I'm sure you did realize, although you use an expression like it was suddenly like the light was switched on. I felt suddenly like a whole weight had been lifted off my shoulders. Whatever expression it is, it means that the Holy Spirit brought revelation that Christ died for you, that Christ died to secure your salvation, that Christ died and had chosen you to be one of his very own. And that revelation is fantastic. And he goes on to say, with that deep conviction in our hearts, we can say like Paul, that, you know, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. And the apostle goes on here to say, you know, after that has happened, looking at us, you know how we lived among you for your sake. And so you became a model, I'm jumping a couple of verses now to 7, you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Acacia. You know, that revelation brings a life-changing lifestyle situation in our lives. Because if any man is in Christ, as Paul was saying at first, is a new creation. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I'm glad I'm not the old Trevor. I'm not the perfect Trevor by any means, as many of you can well quote to me, I'm sure, because you know me better than I know myself, maybe. That's the trouble, isn't it? We look in the mirror and think, by gum, you're a grand lad. I bet the Lord's God has got you in his kingdom, son. You know, and all of that. And then somebody pokes in the side and does the little bit of discouragement and says, ah, but there's a long way to go yet before that really becomes 100% true. Only when I'm presented to him will I be perfect. But I am changed from what I was before. Changed from being a drunkard who had to rely on drink to keep himself going during the day and the night. But now I'm changed. I still like a cerveza. Una cerveza, por favor. And they say, pequeño, grande. And if I'm not driving, I'll say grande. But there you go. It's just controlling it now. I couldn't control it before I was changed by the power of God. But the whole lifestyle, our whole lifestyle becomes changed. And Paul says that, you know how we lived among you, for you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message of the gospel with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Discipleship. These people in Thessalonica received the word of the disciples, and they became imitators of the disciples. Not an imitator of man, but because the apostles and the disciples became so much like Jesus that people wanted their lives to reflect the life of Jesus. And these people did. And you can't kid people, can you? You know, we can always wear a mask sometimes, and people say, oh, what a lovely fellow he is, what a lovely lady. Absolutely. And then all of a sudden they do something totally that isn't really out of context, it's really part and parcel of who they really are. And you get disappointed, and you think, oh dear me, I had such high hopes. But these people had high hopes of the apostles, and they never let them down, because they were trained, they were discipled by Jesus. And the instruction of Jesus was, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations and all creatures, and make them disciples. Not make them converts, but make them disciples, disciplined ones, ones who will be learners of the lifestyle that I want them to live. So he goes on to say, the Lord's message rang out from you. Not only did they have a lifestyle change, not only did they have discipleship in their lives, but they became evangelists. the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we needn't say anything, because everybody else is saying it already. They are saying what kind of reception you gave us. So they received the word of God. They received the instruction of the apostles. They received, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And they received that. How would you receive the good news? It starts off with seemingly is bad news, because the gospel is that you who are dead in your trespasses and sins. How dare you? Do you know what I did for Mrs. Jones this the other morning? I went for a shopping and my car was broken. I walked all the way there and back. That's not sin. Somebody wrote in the local paper down our way about the misconception of Christians, you know, and they were saying, you say they're damned if they don't know Jesus as their Saviour, if they're not born again. This was in response to another pastor who wrote a letter. But I say, that makes a mockery. What about all the people that just live a wonderful, you know, spotless life of taking care of others? But it's true, you see, isn't it? We were dead in our trespasses and sins because of that inherent sin caused by Adam and Eve. But the good news is, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. The wages of sin is we have no hope of eternal life in Christ. The wages of sin is we will remain separate from God on earth and separate from God in eternity. But the good news is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Now I want to say to you this morning, and I don't know you all, so I don't know. I'm almost feel like saying if the cap fits, wear it. But, you know, I remember I was most indignant when I first heard the gospel to learn that I was a sinner. I didn't think I was a sinner. But I discovered I was. Why? Because this book says so. And the preacher told me so. I felt he was preaching at me, but of course he didn't know me from Adam. But I decided I would accept Christ as my Saviour. I accepted the Word of God. And the Bible says that if we are without God, if we're not in Christ and in God the Father, then we are lost. And so how would you accept this morning the songs we've been singing? Christ died on the cross for us. Christ was buried, laid behind a stone in the tomb. But then the stone was rolled away by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he arose from the dead, victorious, to be able to give us eternal life. So how will you receive Jesus this morning? These Thessalonians, this is that great encouragement, isn't it? What a fancy getting a letter like this from Paul and thinking, well, I'm well on the way now. Thank you, Paul. You've really encouraged me to continue in my faith. And it says here, they tell how you turn from God to idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Just a little bit over, and I'm going to finish with this, and then I'll just make a little bit of a statement as to our situation for those who know what Sue and our situation is. But brothers, verse 17 of chapter 2, but brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time. Now Paul and Silas were, you know, moved on, and Timothy was left to look after the situation. But when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, but not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. That's a great letter, isn't it? Knowing that he's gone but not forgotten you. He's not there right now, but you know the one thing about Jesus is he's always here, because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipotent. He has the power to deal with every situation. Certainly I, Paul, wanted to come again and again, but we were stopped. For what is our hope? What is our joy? Or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. I want to tell you something this morning. You might have disagreements with Pastor Andrew and Wendy. I don't know whether you have or you haven't. But what I do know is that when they came to Spain, like when I came to Spain, you know, we came and the Lord challenged us to serve Jesus Christ and to preach the gospel and to bring people into the kingdom. So what is their pride and joy? And Duncan and Pat this morning, and Carol and what's your name again? The treasurer, treat him kindly. And, you know, what is their pride and joy? You are their pride and joy. And people who are yet out there, who when you become a follower of Jesus and a disciple and an evangelist, the Lord's message rang out from you, when they come to the Lord, that is our pride and joy. And these people did not have it easy. Remember there it says, even in spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message. So, you know, it's not all onky-dory, it's not all a bed of roses, as your mother used to tell you when you got married. Not all a bed of roses. Don't come back running to me if you made a decision. But life in Christianity is not perfection. You will have suffering of some kind or another, whether it's physically, mentally, or whatever. But he's got the answer. Praise the Lord. He is the answer to our soul. And they received that message because they could then put their trust, their faith, their love, their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there we are. He goes on to say, so when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. So we sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ. What did he send Timothy for? To strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. So friends, you know, God loves you this morning. Jesus loves you enough to give his life for you. And let me encourage you this morning that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. God is the God of the impossible. With God, all things are possible. Kidney transplants, the removal of kidney warts, you name it, with God all things are possible. We've been thrilled down in, you know, learning of, you know, Pastor Terry Jacobs, who is with us down in Werklavira, you know, how God delivered him from lung cancer without any treatment. He had kidney cancer, he had to have a kidney removed. Sometime later, cancer came back into his lungs and there was lots of lumps, and but God delivered him without any chemotherapy or anything. And we've heard so much lately of what God is doing. We have, many of you might know Julie, who does Cantante with Robin, who is one of the elders, along with Andy Walker down in Werklavira. And Julie's sister is suffering dreadfully with cancer. She's older than Julie, so she's 75 plus. And this cancer has returned two or three times. Julie herself has had cancer three times and the Lord's delivered her. But she went to see her sister a couple of weeks ago and you know, it's breaking out in all sorts of ways, and they're experimenting with her really to try and do tissue transplant. But you know, Julie said to her sister, how are you, love? And she said, do you know, I'm in a win-win situation. If I live, I'm in a win situation. If I go to be with the Lord, I'm in a win situation. So I'm gloriously a winner. What a wonderful way. You know, that's walking the walk as well as talking the talk. And the dear lady is well known. She lives in the Marbella area and they've run a church for a number of years. But win-win. We are in a win-win situation with Jesus today. Amen. Father, I just pray this morning that we will be greatly encouraged. I pray that when we go out these doors this morning, we will say it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord, because He was there. He was there to meet me. He was there to encourage me. He was there to send me on my way rejoicing in spite of what lies beyond the outside of this church. I'm rejoicing because I know that I have hope in Him. Amen.